Hey everybody, Manny here. Welcome to episode 14. That's right, we are finally renumbering everything and starting the podcast from scratch. The website's going to be updated. The episodes are going to be updated. So we are moving everything back and starting the way we should have started with episode one. And so moving here on out, we're dropping the 10, the 114, the 113, all that shit. So yeah, episode 14, people. Hey, this week's song is going to be X Gonna Give It To You by DMX, just because we delve into Cheryl's hostility, and I thought that would be funny, you know, because that's what I'm about, making jokes. So let's, you know, head over to iTunes, go ahead and download that. I know there's probably a huge DMX following listening to this show. This show and DMX go hand in hand. So yeah, I'm reaching the right audience. All right, peeps, enjoy the show.
It's what you hearing, listen. It's what you hearing, listen. It's what you hearing, listen. X gon' give it to ya. Fuck, wait for you to get it on your own. X gon' deliver to ya. Knock, knock, open up the door, it's real. With the non-stop pop out from stainless steel. Go hard getting busy with it. But I got such a good heart that I make the motherfucker wonder if you did it. Damn right, and I'll do it again. Cause I am life, so I got to win. Break
bread with the egg. Hey everybody, so welcome back to the show. Manny here.
Cheryl.
We are at episode 113. You know, this whole thing kind of started because of the columns. So we technically started the podcast at 100.
Right.
And now that we're in iTunes, which, yes, that was a braggy moment.
We're not on Jimmy Kimmel, okay?
I feel like we kind of need to go back. Like, this really should be just episode 13, not 113.
We should
think about it. No, wait. This
episode
is
episode 13 of the podcast.
No, it's not episode 13. It's episode 14, because technically we started at zero. So right. This is our 14th show.
So we can say that. That's fine.
We're going to do that?
Yeah.
Renumber everything?
Episode 14, people.
Episode 14. So welcome to episode 14 of Breaking In. www.breakinginthebiz.com. Follow us on Twitter. At Breaking In The Biz.
I'm going to smack you.
Self-promotion. That's what it takes. Okay. So diving into what we're going to talk about, I kind of want to do a little bit of recap of the
Pitch Fest.
Pitch Fest specifically. All right. Some new developments have come out from then. But
small world stuff. That's that.
What? Yeah, I get what?
Small world, same script, got to you and
oh, yeah.
Yeah. That's interesting.
Oh, yeah. No, actually, I wasn't even thinking that story.
Really?
You're right. No, okay. I had other things. But okay, but let's dive into our feedback from last week.
Okay.
Which is you being hostile.
Hostile. That's what I do, people. I'm the nicest hostile person. I'm J-Well.
J-Well.
Sweet. No, it's Sammy. I'm the nicest Sammy, bitch sweetheart. You'll ever meet.
Right. Yeah, I don't think you want to associate yourself to the Jersey Shore, regardless.
No, I don't. But I am harsh. And
okay, wait. Before we even go there, let's recap. So last week we got into a discussion and we were quote unquote arguing over feedback that I had received from a script. So, if anybody thought that that was a hostile conversation, it was not. It was a debate between two people. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Which is really the point, like that.
And the point is, Manny can take that level of hostility as people will call it. It's
which
not hostility.
I'm not calling it hostility. So
okay,
when you,
it's not.
When you get in my face about a nitpicky thing on the script, it's just us. Okay, let me make it even clearer. If it sounds like Cheryl and I are arguing with one another, that is how we have healthy debates. It's two people having debates who are very passionate about certain things. It's not it's not really an issue.
No, it's not. And literally, we walk away from that kind of stuff and go,
well, I mean,
all right, well, we'll touch on it another day when everybody's more calm.
No,
or
it's not even that.
It will end in how it should end.
We had that discussion and then still went on to talk for another 40 minutes about other things.
Right.
It's not like we were cranky or mad or.
It wasn't the end all. But the problem is Manny can take that level. He can take that level of honesty, and you're not going to hear that.
Well, and
you're going to hear schmooze.
No, actually,
with your scripts, and you're going to hear, okay, yeah, give me the first 10 pages and never hear from people, blah, 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 blah. But when you hear, how about this? I want you to rewrite that script, and I want you to have a fucking smile on your face when you do it. Do you understand? That's just advice.
No,
just advice.
Actually, I think that's a really good point, is that it's not always going to be schmoozing. I mean, when you get notes, I got notes on a script where it was literally the producer that was giving me notes on it actually wrote on the page, and I can prove this to anyone. I can post this on the fucking website. This is dumb. Like, it was literally, this is dumb. That is what you and I mean, how are you supposed to take that? Are you going to take that like a 2-year-old or a second grader calling you dumb?
You're a stupid face?
Yeah. Yes, you're a duty head. it's not always constructive criticism.
But your job is to say, okay, and
why?
And go do it.
Right.
And go do it.
But not even go do it. Because it is literally, this is dumb.
I'm just saying.
No, I know. But you have to figure it out.
I don't want you to have an attitude about it.
Right.
If somebody at that level who's going to help you is giving you, you say, yes, thank you, can I have another?
Right.
That's what you say.
Right.
Period.
So,
So that's my harshness, and sorry, I guess.
No, I don't think you need to apologize for it.
I'm being kidding anyway.
No. That was a sarcastic
Not
apology,
actually
people.
Apologizing. No. Anywhoozle.
Where do you want to move on to? You want to talk about, because I literally 20 minutes on the pitch fest alone, but do you want to talk about Zombie Walk last night or?
Yeah, mix some fun stuff in.
Yeah, okay. So a little bit of fun stuff. Yeah. So last night, so it's Sunday the 28th. So last night was the 27th.
Oh, right now.
Right, yeah. And Long Beach does their annual Zombie Walk, which previous years have been to actually break a record for the number of zombies in a zombie walk.
But we broke it last year already. So.
Right. So this year,
zombie walk.
Long Beach was just a party of zombies.
Yeah.
Which was horribly disappointing.
Yeah, it was a little bit.
So I don't know.
Yeah. So, yeah, the zombie walk part of it was disappointing.
Well,
however,
we didn't even know about it. We kind of just fell into it.
Yeah,
and as
we were
walking,
stuck in a zombie walk. Yeah, out of nowhere. We didn't mean to.
They did kind of this fairground parking lot thing where they had booths set up where you could pay.
It was supposed to be
carnival-like. Yeah. And you paid money to get in, which, Jesus Christ, that was a clusterfuck of getting in. And then there's all these booths set up and you would
do your zombie makeup.
Yeah. And it was literally every booth was a different.
There was only two games.
Yeah.
Basketball and the throw the ball in the big bucket.
Yeah. Right. And then,
People were playing Call of Duty in the truck?
No, they weren't playing Call of Duty, actually.
When I looked in, it looked like Call of Duty.
When we walked past, they were playing something like, Fable, or it was definitely an Xbox game, but it was a lame ass.
No, the one I saw was COD. Definitely, it was,
okay.
Yeah.
So they had this mobile video game.
People who
trailer.
Could just go sit in some living room in a truck and play video.
Yeah,
games.
It was
How
an
about
RV.
Go home.
It was an RV.
Go home, you idiots.
They had
$10 to do that.
They had
really?
Two. They had two stages set up with bands. None of the bands were playing while we were there. They had a giant screen. They were going to show Shaun of the Dead.
Yep.
There was no time as to when that was starting.
Nope.
There
when
was no announcement.
Starting,
yeah, there was no
calendar of events. It was basically just open from 3 o'clock to 11 o'clock.
So we walked. We tried to walk to dinner and got caught in the zombie walk.
So yeah. So we came out of the thing like, this is fucking lame. Let's go have dinner. And then we literally walked out, and there was people telling us you can't cross the street here, and they hold up that they have this quarantine tape. And we were like, what the fuck? Seriously,
gotta walk this way, zombie walk this way.
Right. But they didn't even say that.
No.
We crossed the street, and it took us like 3 minutes before we realized, like, oh,
wait a minute.
They're directing traffic because this is the actual zombie walk.
We ended up at a party that we did know about.
Yes.
And we knew what time it started and everything. At George's Greek Cafe.
Yep, in Long Beach. 80s night.
80s night,
which was great,
and we probably were the oldest. Well, we were the oldest people in our group.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, except Neil, maybe, but for the most part, everybody was 21.
Mm-hmm.
So that was, and they loved the 80s music. I was so happy about that.
That's really funny. Now that you actually point that out, nobody that we were that was in our party was born actually in the 80s.
Right.
They're all 91.
Mm-hmm.
Born in 91.
Yeah. Except the, drag queen that stopped by every once in a while. He was around in the 80s.
The 8-foot drag queen.
Yeah. My buddy.
Yeah. That was good times.
Hey, buddy.
Yeah, don't do that.
Again with the...
This is so non-related, but that actually made me think of something. I heard a story last week that they're actually rebooting the Ernest character. The Ernest goes to jail. Ernest gets stupid.
It's yeah, so
without
funny.
Jim Varney, like they're fine. They're going to cast a new Ernest.
I have a saying that I say from that show all the time.
What was his thing? It was your buddy that actually made me think of that.
Yeah. No, it's like a...
Vern.
Vern. No, got that, was, Vern?
No, but there's a specific...
No, I use it. Allie is sick of it because I've used that since she was a child, but... Vern!
Yeah.
That's sad. No, I don't want to see that.
Okay, so speaking of reboots, this is a good segue into... Now, I haven't watched it yet, but...
I saw pieces.
You watched it last night of Mockingbird Lane.
Yeah, 13/13 Mockingbird Lane.
Okay, so that's the name of the show. It's a reboot of the Munsters for all the kiddies out there. The Munsters was the I want to say the Munsters was the poor man's Addams Family. Is that accurate?
Correct. Yeah, absolutely.
Because I mean, I feel like the Addams Family was way more popular than the Munsters.
The Addams Family seemed rich. Where maybe the Munsters did not. He literally went to work at an office every day. So it was like...
Oh, was it? God, yeah. I don't even remember that.
Yeah. Herman Munster, Frankenstein?
Yeah.
He used to go to an office every day.
That's really funny. I don't know why I don't remember that.
Yeah.
I mean, I used to watch the show, obviously, in syndication, but...
Wow.
I'm sorry.
I
wasn't making a joke on you. I'm just saying that that's a black and white show from the 50s.
Mm-hmm.
We actually called one of the 21 year olds last night is a total Eddie Haskell. And it is such a reference lost on him. We were at brunch with him this morning and we made him look up
Eddie Haskell.
So
Wikipedia.
And what was the answer?
An insincere schmuck, kind of.
He's like, I'm not insincere. Like, you're Eddie Haskell.
Yeah.
It's so weird, you know, just having that lexicon of
pop
culture references. Well, I'm an old soul.
Yeah.
I used to watch, you know, there was that daytime TV where it kind of started, you know, summer vacations and shit like that.
Right.
So it started at like 10 o'clock in the morning.
Right.
This is before daytime TV was talk shows and shit like that. It was always Channel 10, Channel 20.
And game shows.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it was always Leave It to Beaver, Land of the Lost, Lost in Space, Land of Giants. Leave It to Beaver, Dennis the Menace, I used to watch. Mm-hmm. I Love Lucy. Andy Griffith Show. I used to watch all of that shit. Bewitched, I Dream of Jeannie.
Good times.
I know.
Good times.
So it's weird because it's like, you know, with specifically with Bewitched, there was the Darren moment where they changed cast members and never drew attention to it, which is a huge TV thing.
Yes.
Which is funny because when you're watching it in syndication, they don't show it in order.
You know what? And to be honest, when I heard about that, the whole switch, I was like, it's okay. Darren isn't important enough.
No, he's not the main character.
To care.
Which is okay. So that's that. This is actually the point that I was going to make is that when you watch it in syndication, it's not in order. So it flip flops. There is no 50%. 50%. It is
not like Tuesday and then Wednesday was this. Yeah, you don't see that.
So I didn't even notice. That was my point.
I noticed and went, yeah, I don't care so much.
Yeah.
It's not that if they obviously change Samantha or her mother.
Yeah, those are characters you're gonna
mother,
change.
Blah, blah, blah. Yeah.
It was funny during when Roseanne, because Roseanne changed Becky's for a while.
Yeah.
And it was Sarah Chalk.
Again, I was actually happy because I didn't like the other Becky.
But when the other, do you remember when the other Becky came back and they immediately
made a joke?
Yeah, like, where were you?
Yeah. Where have you been? No, I never liked her anyway. I was like, yay.
So anyway, yeah, old references.
Old references.
Because I mean, even there's a weird sort of phase of syndication where it's like even like okay, so like for example, when Nick at Night started, when Nick at Night was a channel, it started out with showing all of that shit. It was Happy Days and, you know, all of that. Laverne and Shirley. And then it moves into, you know, as 10 years later, it actually moved like TV moved. So then it was All in the Family and Good Times and all of that. You know, I watched all that shit. And then 10 years later, it's like right now, I think Nick at Night still exists and it's Roseanne, Home Improvement, Full House, Family Matters.
I watched every show you're talking about.
I know.
Every
I watched all of those. I watched all of that shit.
Did I have time for that much TV?
I don't know. I don't know how much time
Jesus, we didn't have.
I don't know how we have time for the amount of TV we watch right now.
VCR, even. I mean, that's you're talking about VCR back then.
Yeah, there was no way to. There was no Hulu. It was either this was the channel you watched.
Yep.
And so it's Thursday night TV, Friends, Seinfeld.
When I was growing up, we only got three channels.
Yeah, I know.
So.
Back in the 80s.
Yeah.
Okay, so way off topic. Way off topic. Okay, so. No, Mockingbird Lane.
Right.
So, okay, so they rebooted The Munsters. It premiered last night.
Great modern spin on it.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, so I haven't seen it. So how did they modernize it in a way where, I mean, having the original under your belt of the Munsters, how did they popularize it for modern day audiences?
Well, you know how Grandpa was a vampire.
Right.
Mm-hmm. His daughter was a vampire, the mom.
Yes. Herman Munster was Frankenstein.
Put together from other people.
And wasn't the boy in the Munsters was
a werewolf.
Werewolf, right.
But they never addressed when that happened.
The werewolf.
Nothing.
They were just monsters.
Did Grandpa go out and suck blood?
No, they were just a family of monsters.
Exactly. Well, so now it's got a dark, like, Frankenstein's heart is going. So they have to find somebody to take a heart from.
Okay.
So they end up killing... So Eddie Munster, you know how he was always wearing a Boy Scout uniform?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
All the time?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so they just moved there, and they're like, well, what Boy Scout troop did you come from before? Troop number? There's troop numbers? And they're like, yeah, it's always on your... Oh, there isn't. He just wanders from troop to troop. He's not even actually joined. Mm. He just shows up in his uniform and he's in Boy Scouts. And then becomes Wolf Boy when he's out, when they're out camping. Mm-hmm. And they keep telling him it's a little bear. But he's actually, like, it makes it sound like he's killing people.
Really?
And then they kill his troop leader to take his heart to give to Herman.
Okay.
It's got a very modern feel to it. Like, we can take this shit. Yep. Got it. And it's funny. And it's, you should have that. Take that heart. I feel that way. Go ahead and take that.
Well, that's cool. I remember reading a lot when they first announced that they were rebooting the monsters.
I like both those shows, Adam's Family.
Sure, sure. But I just remember when it was announced, people were like, that's a weird one to reboot.
Because I couldn't see it in its form
the way that it was back then.
I couldn't see that working now. What they did to it, totally. It's totally modern version of that.
I'm going to have to watch that after we finish recording. Now I'm curious about it. And Eddie Izzard is Grandpa Monster. Love Eddie Izzard.
Insanely good.
I can't
already.
Stand Jerry O'Connell, though. Jerry Romaine Stamos.
No?
Oh, no. He bugs me.
Really? No, he does.
Not Ethan Hawke bugs me.
And you know what? He plays his character.
I think that might be what it is. I don't like the characters he plays.
Actually, one of the things
I liked him better when he was the fat kid in Stand By Me.
Literally. Okay, so he's got a scar where his head's sewn on, so it goes right across his neck. So every shirt he wears, you can see it. Mm-hmm. So somebody goes, "Oh, that's a great necklace." Oh, that's not. What is that? And they try to fluff over it. And I'm like, it's a tattoo. Just say it's a tattoo.
Right.
And move on, people. They're going to make it an ongoing joke, and it really shouldn't be. But okay.
So your one criticism.
That's my one criticism. No,
Jerry O'Connell.
There's another way to explain that. Let's move on. Oh, no, not Jerry O'Connell. The writers did that. He didn't do that.
Yeah.
Writers.
Yeah. Fucking writers. Which is a great transition into talking about Pitch Fest.
Yeah.
Because that's what this show's all about, writing.
Correct.
God, I don't even know where I want to start with this. So as we talked about in last week's show, I did a Pitch Fest last week. And you know what? There is a lot of interesting ideas. I'm going to say that roughly, I'm going to say I met with 40 people. In an 8-hour day at 5 minutes apiece, I'm going to say I probably met more than 40.
Yeah.
So let's say out of 40 people, I'm going to say I probably asked for 15 scripts. No, you know what? Let's say 20.
Which is generous from many.
Yeah, it's very generous from me.
Yeah.
Of the 20 scripts I asked to see, I have gotten 2. And so I got the 2 scripts, both of which I passed on. One of them, this is actually a really good point. One of the people that sent me their script, it was a period script. It was her first script. The idea sounded interesting. I basically asked for her script and I told this to her face. This is not going anywhere, but I'd be very interested to see your writing. And, you know, I'll read a couple of pages of your script just to see if your writing's on task. Send me the script. Now, normally, when I do that, people do not take the time to send that script out. She did.
Right.
She sent me the script. And you know what? For the record, it's actually really good writing. It's just the idea is, it's set in like 1066 AD. It's a king's Saxons.
Yeah, you got
medieval that. Times, yeah. You know, and she was a history major. Right. And I'm like, I get it. So now, because she sent me that script, my note back to her is going to be like, you're a really good writer. Focus.
However.
Well, and I told her at the table.
This can't be your go-to script.
And I told her that at the table without even reading it.
I think your first script, what I think we're finding out is your first script needs to be manageable financially.
Yes.
That's the best bet. And people are willing to take a chance on something cheap.
People always want to argue that their period movie can be done cheaply. No, it can't. Period absolutely is a deal breaker with newbie writers.
They're not going to take the first, your first time, they're not going to take you out and spend that kind of money.
Right.
Not going to happen.
No, no. Not with a period movie.
No.
Okay, so she was kind of a wash because the idea was I wasn't actually interested in the script.
Right.
So of the people that I was actually genuinely interested in the script, I got two.
Right.
And both of them were passes because the execution, as fucking normal, was just absolutely horrible. That's a problem. Which I kind of want to lead this into a different discussion, but before I go there, of the 20 people, I got two scripts. I also got two people who wrote in and said, yep, not going to send you the script yet. It's not ready. I need to rewrite it. There's seriously nothing more fucking irritating than somebody who's not ready to pitch.
That script's not getting read.
No. Ever. No. And, you know, I kind of took one of them to task because I did so politely. But the idea is like, look, people, when you're pitching your script, we want the script immediately. We want to see what you can do. Anything you do besides that is a problem. If it takes you a week to get us a script, then it shows us that, well, you had other things to do. It wasn't important to you. You don't want this. There's a delay. If it takes you 2 months to send us a script, then the script wasn't ready to pitch in the first place. We asked for it when we asked for it, and you didn't give it.
The point is, your script is coming in with issues, and there's no script.
Right.
You already have an issue, and there is no script.
Right.
That's it.
Which I'm actually going to take. So right now I'm in executive mode. We're going to flip the script literally when I get into writer mode. So as an executive, these are all signs where your shit's not ready. You're not prepared. You don't know what you're doing. And here's the reality. As executives who get scripts, managers, agents, whoever you pitch to, if you don't give your, like, if there's a pitch fest on Friday and you don't get it to them on Sunday, on Monday, they have an email full of scripts from other people.
Right.
Like, there are literally 100 people.
You come in 2 months later, are they going to remember you?
No, because most managers, most agents read anywhere between 50 or 60 scripts a week. Mm-hmm. So if you wait 2 months, what is that? 50 times four, that's 200. Right. That's 400 scripts they've read in between the moment they asked you for the script and the moment you actually sent it.
Right.
And the other thing I found out is that, like, when it comes to managers and agents and even executives, because executives, but specifically with managers and agents, they know they're going to a pitch fest. They carve out time out of their schedule because they know they're going to get bombarded with 15 scripts.
Right.
So they know what they're doing. And if you miss that window, they've already moved on. They've given themselves personally.
Well, things happen so quickly. Yes. Even if you get a script read, things happen so quickly or forgotten. So we have ADD.
Right.
I mean, 9/11, the war, that we have ADD. We don't remember shit from 6 months ago.
Right.
So, yes, if you expect somebody else to, it's in for your script, it's not going to happen. Not going to happen.
So, let's talk about a script not being ready. Now, this is going to be a complete slam against PitchFest. I have done them enough to where I feel very confident in making these statements.
That's what he said. He's done them enough, people.
Pitch fests are a waste of time. Hands down. Now, I'm going to tell you, the first thing I'm going to say is why they're not a waste of time. I'm going to immediately contradict myself. Pitch fests are not a waste of time because of the networking aspect.
Context.
You get to meet people. You know, Sammy, who's been on the show before, last Pitch Fest, I said this last week, Sammy and I went to lunch. We invited a couple of writers that we met to come down and have lunch with us. We, you know, there is a way to...
That seemed normal.
Yeah, that totally seemed normal. Although the one girl, one woman was Alaskan. She's from Alaska.
Oh, no.
And I kind of made a couple of Sarah Palin jokes.
I saw that coming.
And it wasn't until later on in lunch that her husband is totally like Todd Palin, likes to shoot stuff on the weekends.
Right. Good for her.
Anyway. So it's the networking aspect, getting to know who's who, getting to know.
I heard that.
Yeah. Okay. So that's a positive. The problem with pitch fests is that when a pitch fest typically wants to take your money, and I'm going to be flat out with this, that is what they're fucking doing. They are taking your money. They are feeding on the people
that
who have written a script.
They're going to make it big. This is going to be their break.
Before you even get there. I've written a script. I want to put it in the hands of somebody. That's it. And pitch fests are saying...
The bottom line is everybody thinks this is their... I'm going to get... This is my lottery ticket.
Right. That is true. But before you even get to that point, it's like pitch fests put themselves as like, we're the mediators. We're the go-between Hollywood and
you.
This
is how you get
there. This is how you get in. Now, I will say, for argument's sake, that when Pitch Fest started in the early 90s, that was the case.
And now it's been turned into the Home Shopping Network.
Yes. Home Shopping Network is the perfect way to put it.
Yep.
It is the Home Shopping Network of fucking Hollywood. Pitch Fests are a waste of fucking time and money. And here's why. First of all, they're going to charge you $600-$800 for a weekend. Which, by the way, most people who... I just mentioned the woman from Alaska. Most people who come to Pitch Fest are people who are traveling out of state. So you got your flight, you got your hotel, you got your food, plus the $800 that
classes,
you're going to drop.
Maybe.
No.
I'm
going to get there in a second. So $800, but in order to get your $800, they attach classes to that. So they're going to make it worth your while because they're going to have industry, quote unquote, industry professionals speaking at panels on one day. And then you get to pitch to people the second day. So it's usually a weekend, quote unquote, seminar, event, however you want to fucking cater it. Bullshit. Because here's the biggest problem. The biggest problem for this event was that the pitch fest was on a Friday. The classes were on a Saturday. Now, we as executives are not associated with the classes on Saturday, unless we're actually asked to speak at a panel. But for the most part, we're not. We're asked to be there as industry professionals.
That's not the biggest problem, by the way.
No. I'm getting there.
That's insane.
No. Not speaking
at
the panel.
It's just a stupid scheduling issue. That's what that is.
So the reality is, my point being is that we're not associated with Saturday. So we go there looking for material. Writers come in, they do their pitches. Then they go to classes and they hear, here's everything that's wrong with your script, quote unquote.
And here's how you pitch. And I know what you did yesterday and here's why it was all wrong. How's that helping now?
Right. So then we, the executive, are expecting material. But now they've gone to class and now they've learned their script is shit. So now they don't want to send it to you.
It is the lottery going there. If one out of every three pitches, if one script gets picked up and goes big, that's awesome. But that's bad odds.
Yeah.
This is not the way. If you think it's going to happen this way, it's not. Chances are it's not. And you're not going to be that one in a million.
I stand by the fact that nobody... And I do understand, okay? I want to preface this with the fact that we are talking a very different market. I'm coming from a studio side. That is what I write to studios. I want to write the next summer blockbuster. I want to write the next Batman trilogy. I'm studio. So when I say that, and I'm gonna go out and make the claim that in order to get on the A-list, you got to write for the studio, because that is the A-list writers write for studios. That's what they do. No, none of those A-listers ever got discovered from a pitch fest. And that's not going to change. Nobody's going to discover an A-lister writer on a pitch fest. No newbie writer is so fucking great that they're going to walk into a pitch fest and wow everybody. And then next thing you know, they're writing, you know, Batman 4 or Iron Man 3 or whatever. Mm-hmm. So now scripts have gotten picked up from Pitch Fest to do straight to DVD bullshit movies.
Oh, right.
And if that's what you want to do, then yay. I mean, if your goal is to just make a movie.
That's actually one of the reason we're named what we're named, that there's other ways to get. I think what we're saying here is that out of the 15 ways we might have mentioned how to get into writing or whatever it is you want to do, get your foot in the door and how to do that. Pitch Fest, isn't it?
No.
Is what you're saying.
No, yeah.
And, well, I don't see Manny doing a lot of Pitch Fests in the future, but it's very disheartening.
No, pretty much done with it.
Yeah.
They're just so bad, and they're poorly, you know, I'm sorry, but they're poorly run.
You don't feel like you're helping anybody. You don't feel like you're getting anything, nothing. I mean, it's more satisfying to help somebody with their script than it is to talk with them for 5 minutes and maybe know how to help them with the script, but you can't.
Yeah.
That's disheartening.
That's actually kind of an interesting point, too, because the reality is that there's a certain mentality of, you know, when you know, I'm going to make a general claim, and I'm sorry if this sounds too harsh, but pitch fests scrape the bottom of the barrel for writers. And when you're at the bottom of the barrel, there is a certain attitude that you have, which is this weird sense of arrogance where, you know, you come to these pitch fests in order to pitch to executives, and then you automatically have an issue when that executive tells you this is a big piece of shit.
Or anything.
I mean, I'm doing extremes here, but the reality is like, okay, well, here's where you're wrong. Here's what you need to do in order to make that script better. Oh, yeah, no, I don't need to do that. Well, right, what would I know?
I asked three of my friends, and they said it was fine. So I'm pretty sure you're stupid.
Oh, my God, we talk about that all the time.
It's an ongoing joke.
The reason why it's an ongoing joke is because it's that mentality of people who go to Pitch Fest.
Yes, yes.
You know, yeah, yes, there are writers who deal with...
No, we've met normal people there.
There was an article in The Hollywood Reporter last week, which was expert advice, okay? So this is how I sold my show.
Okay.
So these are top A-list writers who've sold shows, pilots, to networks, who've had very successful shows in the past. This is their take on pitches when they pitch to the network.
Okay.
So Sean Ryan, who mm-hmm. was very famous, who basically got his start with The Shield, and he's doing Last Resort, which you saw the pilot. Have you been sticking with Last Resort? I'm behind.
I'm going to say I'm behind too.
Okay. So here's what Sean Ryan says. Sean Ryan says, pitch the series, don't pitch the pilot. They're turning Beverly Hills Cop into a TV show.
No.
I know.
Go ahead.
I know. CBS bought it, and that's the old folks network. So
maybe.
So Sean Ryan's behind that.
Okay.
So pitch a series, don't pitch the pilot. When we pitched Beverly Hills Cop, I probably spent 10 seconds talking about the pilot and the rest on what the series would be on a weekly basis. Very good point.
Yeah.
You know, I've had plenty of people pitch to me TV shows.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
No.
Which we said is a different animal, too.
Yes. But I've had plenty of people pitch the pilot, and it's like, yeah, but what's the show?
That's true.
You know, what's the show? You know how many times I hear what's the show? Like, that sounds like a really good idea, but what's the show?
You know what? Which reminds me of that one where, oh my God, what was the name of that show? Housewives that were prostitutes?
Oh shit. What was the name of that? Milk Money. Milk Money. Somebody actually shot, that person shot the pilot.
Shot the pilot, but you could see where the show, you could see the show going, right, where it was going
to
go.
It was very easy to see the show. Okay, so moving on to, okay, so the two guys that wrote, that pitched and sold Once Upon a Time. You watch that.
I don't.
I tuned out. We like the pitch in the morning. The death slot is 3 p.m. You never want to be the first up after lunch because you know what's happened. They're in a food coma and they don't want to hear what you're saying. Absolutely fucking true. So going to Pitch
Not
Fest.
Not only a food coma, but drinks.
Yeah.
If they've had drinks, yeah, you're gone.
Pitching in the afternoon at a Pitch Fest is the biggest fucking waste of time.
Agreed.
We're not even slap silly. We are so ready for lunch that when lunch happens, it's this sort of release.
Yeah.
And now we don't want to go back.
Actually,
we don't want to go back.
You actually don't.
Mentally, we don't come back at all.
You don't.
Absolutely.
Although probably a lot more stuff gets pushed by you.
Yeah, I'll read it. No.
Fine.
If you want to get your script.
Not taken seriously though.
No, not taken seriously. But
it's just shut you up.
If you pitch at an all day pitch fest, and if you pitch between 4 and 5, and somebody tells you they want to read your script, they don't want to read your script.
Yeah, just
between 4 and 5. Yes, send it to me. Yeah, send it to me. Sure, whatever. Yeah. Send it to me.
No arguing here.
The guy that sold Arrow, which. You're a fan of. You got a couple of issues with it, but I dig the show.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you can't be discouraged by a no. It's very easy between pitch 3 and 4 to give up or pitch it without the same degree of enthusiasm. But you need to remember, you only need one yes. Again.
What a great, we've said that.
See
what,
this all
by
the time.
By the end of the day, you don't get to have pooky face.
No.
Yeah.
No, and I understand if you're when you go to a pitch fest and you're pitching for 8 hours, that is probably 8 hours of getting beat up.
Right.
And you got to keep the same positivity and the same energy at 9:30 in the morning
but
as you do at
4:30. Pitch fest anyway, so
yeah,
it doesn't matter.
No, but which, you know what? And that's another problem with pitch fest.
What?
It's the idea that, you know, it's just not going to happen. And they make you think it's going to happen. You know, being at a pitch fest is not normal. It's not normal pitching. It's not a normal pitching environment. It's speed dating. You know, if you were to...
It's unnatural.
If you were to fly into L.A. and you had a manager and they set up... Let's say they set up a week of meetings. You're probably going to pitch twice a day. Maybe. You're going to see one studio in the morning and one studio in the afternoon.
Right.
It's not... Every five
it's
minutes.
Putting your script on Craigslist.
Oh, snap. Good reference. Putting your script on Craigslist.
Everybody down with that?
That is the title for this week's show.
Let's put your script on Craigslist, people.
No. Okay, so Cheryl's motioning that she wants to have a cigarette.
But I'm having a cigarette.
No.
Cheryl's saying, I'm going outside to have a cigarette.
Wait, let's just wrap
She's
up.
Not asking.
Let's just wrap up, because I don't because there's really nothing else to say.
I thought you wanted to give a shout out to Ivy.
Oh, yeah. No, we can do that real quick. So big, huge shout out to Ivy Eisenberg, who's a friend of mine who I met at a pitch fest.
See, it does work out for something.
For the executives, people. We meet people.
It's contact. Period.
It's contact.
That's the only reason you go.
She got nominated for, I just blanked on what she does for a living.
Casting.
She's casting.
The casting.
Yeah. Casting
like
director.
The characters.
She's casting director for Robot Chicken. She just got nominated by the Casting Society of America or whatever it's called for Robot Chicken for Best Animated Feature or Best Animated Show. She's up against Family Guy, Simpsons.
Yeah, she's not going to win, but she's freaking awesome. No, awesome job.
She has a chance.
Oh, God, no.
Wink, wink.
It's like going against Modern Family. It's not going to happen.
Yeah. No. It's like going against the Daily Show.
Exactly.
Not going to happen.
Daily Show, Modern Family.
Big ups to Ivy for that.
Yes, congrats.
We will try to get Ivy on the show at some point.
Yes.
That would be fun.
I totally think so.
Okay, so let's just wrap up the Pitch to Fest thing real quick.
Okay, go ahead.
So... A waste of time, people.
No, go in with the right reason. We met a lot of people there. You end up not going to find a script. It should be a mixing. It's a mixer. Just throwing people in, just go meet people. Meet everybody you can, be normal, and just try to get cards. And
I think that's honestly, I think it would be more beneficial if you went in there with the idea of not pitching your script.
Mm-hmm.
If there's a way to have a pitch fest where you're there to pitch your script, but you don't actually pitch your script, that would be genius. Because the reality is because pitch fests are scraping the bottom of the barrel, they take advantage and they give people these classes, and then they go to these classes and realize, fuck, I don't know what the fuck I'm doing. My script's not ready. I just heard so and so tell me my script's not ready. So now I got to.
Go meet people anyway.
Right. Exactly.
Meet people. You're there to meet people. Do that.
You know,
then worry about your script later. That's what I say.
I say, oh, absolutely. I say this all the time. Take us out for drinks. Be the person who networks. Yes.
No.
But I'm saying build. My point being is build relationships.
If they want to have drinks with you, you are that much farther.
Yeah.
If they want to go out, if they say yes. Yeah, you are that much farther. Absolutely.
I agree. One quick last thing. Sorry. I'm getting death stare here. This fucking Tobacco Jones over here. The writer, Small World story.
Yes.
Okay.
Tell that.
So the writer, okay, go smoke. I'll tell a story.
Tell a story.
So this writer, stands. I'm looking at Cheryl standing outside the door. So this writer pitches to me the script. He has the rights to the book that he did not write. He literally spent $10,000 on the rights to this book. Pitches me the script. I asked to read the script. Sammy, who's also at the Pitch Fest, asked to read the script. This is on Friday. On Sunday, Cheryl and I have brunch with Sammy. Sammy's talking about the script. He can't put it down. Amazing. He doesn't send me the script. I think, didn't we talk about this last week's show? That the fact that he sent Sammy the script.
We didn't know what it, yes.
But he didn't send it to me. He sent it to Sammy. Okay, so we talked about this. So the follow-up to this story is that technically, I guess he's my boss, but someone else at the company, the president of production, Steve, who I talk about sometimes, had lunch with this guy. And I literally walked into the office and I saw the book on his desk. And I said, hey, where'd you get that book? He goes, oh, some writer gave it to me. I'm like, oh, what writer? He goes, Jeffrey, blah, blah, blah. I don't know his name.
Yeah, you said, actually, is his name Jeff?
And he goes, I think that's what it is. And I said, oh, why did you meet with him? And he goes, oh, his manager is a friend of mine and asked me to do a favor. I'm not going to do anything. He basically asked me to meet the guy.
What was his reason for not wanting to?
Oh, he didn't think there was a movie there. He said maybe a TV show, but Steve couldn't see a movie. So the point being is that this writer pitched to me.
You work for Copelson.
Knew I worked for Copelson, so he pitched to Copelson. And then his manager set up this meeting with his quote-unquote friend Steve over at Copelson. And this writer did not acknowledge to Steve that he pitched to me and didn't... sent me the script, but
how about an even better point, Manny? Who should he have done first? Should he have let his manager get the friend to look at it,
absolutely.
Or should he have read it to you?
Well, he didn't.
That's the, or go to Pitch Fest with it. That is exactly what I'm talking about. You don't start at the bottom.
Why is his manager telling him to go to Pitch Fest?
Why are you at Pitch Fest?
Right.
No, I bet you his manager didn't tell him to do that. No fucking way.
No, exactly.
He thought he was handling business.
As I heard from what Steve told me is his manager is a friend of mine. He asked me to do a favor to just meet with the guy.
That's the
because
first
he was
one
in town.
Do.
Because he was in town.
That's the first one you do. To hear from you that this guy was at Pitch Fest.
Right.
So you were being a street hooker down on Sunset, and now you're sitting in executive. No,
you're pretty.
Woman. Now you're having lunch with a
Richard Gere.
No.
No.
Don't
absolutely.
Do it in reverse.
Absolutely.
He should have went that route first. I'm sorry, the Pitch Fest was the day before, but you should have went that route first.
Right. No, absolutely. So the point being is this guy pitched to me, pitched to Sammy, pitched to Steve. And the point being is that we all talked about it. Sammy finished the script and told me what he thought. Steve said, you know, once I told Steve this guy pitched to me, he asked me what I thought of the script, or what I thought of the idea. I disagreed with him. I said, I kind of think there is a movie there, but I haven't read the script yet. Then I told Steve, literally, this is what happened. I said, but I have a manager friend of mine who I trust, and he says it's 5 drafts away from doing anything. And Steve, without missing a beat, says, yeah, okay, then I'm going to pass. I don't want to deal with that.
That's what I'm saying. You just burn
Small
your
world.
Script.
Yeah.
Being ready and starting from the bottom.
With 3 different people.
What if he just let Steve read it? If Steve thought it was important enough, he would have said, let's go through the 5 drafts. Let's do that.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. You don't start from people telling you this is the problems with it. Start from the top and then work your way down.
I think
if you have a chance to go to the top, go to the top.
I think the reality is even though there's not, you know, yes, there's a top and yes, there's a bottom. The point is this: small world.
It is.
We all talk, and if we don't talk, there are it somehow gets talked about. You know,
Sammy talked about this. It's the reputation of the script or the writer can get tarnished by how you tried to sell things. The way
and,
you
and
put
we
it
talk,
out there.
We all talk to one another.
You put a non-ready script out there. You're just asking.
The town is so small and so incestuous that you have no idea how that's going to get through. You have no idea who's going to talk to who and who's going to say what.
Right.
And you do fucking something stupid. That is literally every time I have lunch with managers, agents, other executives, one of the biggest talking points has always been like, oh my God, you wouldn't believe what this fucking writer did the other day.
Yes.
And then that writer somehow comes to a pitch fest or has a meeting with me, starts pitching the idea. And I remember the fucking idea because I remember, oh my God, that's what so-and-so was talking about at lunch the other day.
So you already have a predetermined.
Yeah. This guy's fucktarded.
Yeah.
I'm not going to listen to you.
Right.
I'm definitely not going to listen to your fucking script.
Right.
It's just, that is a bad way to play the game.
Yeah.
You're going to lose. And you have to keep that in mind. Small world, people.
I agree.
Cool. So that's the show. You've had your cigarette.
See, I'm good. Sorry.
I'm going to go watch some Mockingbird Lane.
I say I agree.
You got
that.
Work to do.
I'm going to watch it while I'm working.
Are you going to whistle while you work?
No.
No, because that's a bad joke. They can't all be gems. the look, people. If I could bottle that look and sell it, no one would buy
You'd
it.
You'd make no money. You'd be broke.
I'd be in the hole because I spent all that money bottling.
On bottles.
On manufacturing that look.
Just on bottles. Alone.
You're stupid. All right. So for episode 14, we're going to renumber. I don't know how that's going to... That might fuck us up on iTunes.
Move on.
Talk about it. Business. Because you're part of the show. www.breakinginthebiz.com. Subscribe, people. We're on iTunes.
This is Cheryl. Peace out.
Manny. Till next week.